Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Steve, the moderator for this conference call. I thank everyone for joining us today for the Ircon International Limited Q4 and FY24 analyst conference call. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Today, we have with us the senior management represented by Srimati Ragini Advani, Finance Director, Sri Alan Roy Chaudhary, CGM Finance. I would like to remind you that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. It is subject to several risks and uncertainties, and the actual result could materially differ. I would now like to hand the conference over to Srimati Ragini Advani, Finance Director, for the opening remarks, after which we will have the forum open for interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. To Steve, good afternoon, everyone. I am Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, Ircon. On behalf of my team, I extend a warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for your presence today in the earnings call for Q4 as well as year-ended 31st March 2024. I have along with me my team members, Mr. Alan Roy Chaudhary, CGM Finance, and Mr. Sachin Garg, DGM Finance. As you would all have seen the results, this year, FY24, has been an exceptional year for Ircon. The company has been upgraded to Navratna by DPE, and this is a prestigious status that's been granted to us because of our strong financial performance, efficiency, and credibility. Additionally, Ircon has reported once again in FY23-24 highest ever turnover and PAT. This achievement underscores the company's robust growth and the successful execution of the projects. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to all the stakeholders for their continuous and unwavering support. Financial results as well as the investor presentation has already been uploaded. I'm sure all of you have had the opportunity to review these documents. Just to summarize our financial performance, the company has reported total revenue of ₹12,871 crores in FY24, almost up by 20% as compared to ₹10,750 crores for the same period last year. PAT has also increased by about 21.5% at a level of 930 crores as compared to rupees 765 crores in the last year. Earnings per share have correspondingly gone up to rupees 9.88 per equity share in FY24 vis-a-vis rupees 8.14 in FY23. And this is on a face value of rupees 2 per share. The board of directors have recommended a final dividend of rupees 1.30 per equity share, thereby bringing the overall dividend for this year to rupees 3.10 per equity share. This is of course subject to approval of shareholders in the ensuing annual general meeting. Order book of the company currently stands as at 31st March 2024 at ₹27,208 crores. The mix between competitive bidding and nomination and order is almost 50-50. And between domestic and international is about 91-9. Ircon has 11 subsidiaries, mainly SPVs, and this is in renewable power, roads, highways. Ircon has 7 joint venture companies, mainly for coal connectivity. Without taking much time, I would like to open the floor for Q&A session.
Thank you, ma'am. We will now begin the question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. And if you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Thank you. First question is from the line of Tushar Rangate from Kamakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Good afternoon, Madam Sir. I have a question regarding the high-speed rail. Just wanted to know, like, what percentage of our order book is high-speed rail link contract, and how do you see that panning out in next 2 to 3 years? Hello. Hello, ma'am.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Tushar, could you please go ahead with your question once again?
Yeah. So, ma'am, I just wanted to know, like, high-speed rail network, what percentage of your order book as of now, and how do you see that panning out in the next 2 to 3 years?
Hello, ma'am. Hello. Mr. Tushar, please wait a moment. I'll just disconnect the management line and reconnect them back, okay?
Fair enough. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line has been connected back. Mr. Tushar, if you could go ahead with your question again.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, ma'am. Just wanted to know the high-speed railway network is what percentage of our order book, and how do you see that panning out in the next 2 to 3 years? Because I could see we have experience in the ballast plate tri-plane segment. Just wanted to know your views and the order book position going forward.
So, it roughly is about 5,200 crores, the order value of the bullet train project. So it would be about 19 to 20% of our order book. And in terms of going forward, our Honorable Prime Minister has announced a particular stretch to be opened in 25-26, then another one in 26-27. And the full connectivity will be a year after that. So we are accordingly working for those timelines.
Fair enough, ma'am. And what sort of order book you're foreseeing now for FY25 overall?
So, in FY23-24, we've had order book increase, which was quite nominal, close to about 1,000 crores only from new projects and the balance from some increases that we had in our existing projects. So, taking this forward, while we will again target to get order books increased to the extent of revenue that we do in this current year, or maybe a little more, but a lot will depend on the number of bids which are coming out, the tenders which are coming out. First quarter, there has been a slowdown because of the election, and I think we'll be in a better position to give you this answer in our results of June quarter.
And last question, are we holding your earlier guidance of 15 to 20% CAGR growth for 2 to 3 years?
15 to 20% of what?
CAGR growth for 2 to 3 years, sales growth.
No. So what I had said was that we will try getting over a period of 4 to 5 years a double of our turnover. And currently we've done quite well. From 10,000 we've moved on to 12,000 plus crores. In fact, almost close to 13,000. So on a year-on-year basis, it may not be every year a growth of about 10 to 20%. We do see next year, depending on, of course, it will depend also on the orders that we secure this year, but we kind of see a flatter growth going forward for the next financial year.
Okay, ma'am. The last question, ma'am, what are initiatives in order to increase our margin?
Sorry, initiatives to increase the margin, that is what you're asking?
Yeah, ma'am.
So, we've always maintained that our margins are quite good vis-a-vis the industry, and we will continue to maintain the margins. Increase margins will be difficult because competition is immense, and so also there is a lot of pressure on margins. We've had fabulous margins this year, which have been in fact on the higher side of the spectrum that we've always stated to our investors. And going forward, we will maintain the margins. We may not be able to increase them. PAT margins would continue to be in the level of 7 to 7.5%.
Fair enough, ma'am. That was helpful. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Ma'am, this quarter, if you see the margins, we on a standalone basis, we are closer to, say, 7-odd%. So, can we replicate the same going forward, or are there any one-offs during the quarter?
So, in this quarter, we had a one-off income against an arbitration settlement, or in fact, a settlement in international court. This was in regards of our South Africa project. And that's been partially offsetted by certain provisions that we created this year. On the whole, that has given margins which are higher than the other three quarters in the fourth quarter. But having said that, overall, as we've been maintaining, we should be able to maintain PAT margins in a level of about 7 to 7.5% going forward.
Got it. Sure. Secondly, ma'am, you know, in the previous call, we were talking about order inflows, you know, large ticket size projects which were put on hold So are we seeing, you know, there's some improvement out there, and if you could, you know, name a few projects where we are expecting, you know, next year we could bag, or, you know, where we have bid for some projects?
Yeah, so I may not be able to name them, but they are pretty much in the pipeline. It just so happens that domestic, you know, some of the big projects that we were targeting in domestic market, the decisions are delayed because of the elections that have come in. And we hope to be one of the players to get some part of it at least. But we will only know it later. And yes, our team, business development team, along with the management, is looking for all kind of bids that we can do, both in domestic as well as international markets. We put in a lot of efforts last year also, and we'll continue to do those efforts. Unfortunately, last year we could not see the results, but we are hopeful that after the June quarter, we should be able to see some good results, and we'll be sharing it with you then.
Got it. Sure. Secondly, ma'am, you know, I mean, if you see our order book, we have an order book of close to, say, 40,000 odd crores. And given the leverage execution, you know, we'll be able to do it, say, closer to 14,000 odd crores. So, I mean, just to the previous participant, he said, you know, probably we'll be ending flattish. So, are there any slow-moving projects, or are we being very conservative on the execution front?
So, you know, the 27,000 crore order book of mine, these are construction projects. It includes a bullet train project, and it includes a tough terrain Myanmar project, as well as a tough terrain Civok project that we have. So all these projects were never ever meant to be completed in 2 years. So these were supposed to be a 4 to 5 year horizon in which these were supposed to be created. And therefore, I have maintained that we will have a flattish number of turnover last next year. And this order will continue for period beyond 2 years.
Sure. Sure. No, because, ma'am, you know, my point was, you know, that majority of the projects are at advanced stage. It's not, you know, we've just started work. If you take DSCC.
In our case, Myanmar and bullet train is still at a nascent stage, or I would say the first 25% stage.
Okay.
So those will spill over after next 2 years.
Sure. And, ma'am, last two questions from my side. One, in terms of investments which we've done in our SPVs till date, and how much needs to be invested? And second, in terms of solar project, what's the status and how much have we invested?
Could you repeat your question, please?
One, you know, till date, how much investments we have done in our road mining SPVs? And second question is, the status of the solar power project which, you know, we have in terms of EPD, so what's the construction status and how much EPD we have received in that project?
Yeah, so first coming to the solar project, we have already infused equity of about 112 crore odd. And okay, we will be infusing funds to the extent of another 89 crores in this current year.
Ma'am, this is Kobi Asha, right?
Yeah, this is totally our share.
Sure.
Okay, and in terms of the project itself, there is land acquisition which is happening. And apart from that, we have already tied up all our contractors in terms of the procurements that we had to do, including for supply of solar modules. The tariff and the PPA is already fixed. And the commissioning, a part of the commissioning would happen in this year and the balance in next year.
Got it. Sure, ma'am. And in terms of investments which we've done till date in all our SPVs, and how much do we have to invest in next, say, 1 or 2 years?
Cumulative investments in the range of 2,000 to 2,200 crore is what we've done right now in all our SPVs, joint ventures as well as subsidiaries. And we have to do another 1,000 crore in the next 2 years.
Next 2 years.
1,000 to 1,100 crores, yeah.
And majority would be towards the coal connectivity project, or, you know, that's largely done?
No. So even in coal connectivity, there is some amount that we have to done, but majority would be in the road project. And we expect that the outflow in this year, FY24-25, towards all these projects should be in the range of 500 crores.
Sure. Ma'am, I have a couple of more questions. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joydev Devnath from Microsec Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. My first question is, in the recent quarter, we will notice a loss of around 14 crore from the associate. So could you please tell me from which associate this loss was booked, and may we expect this similar loss in upcoming quarter, or this is a one-time occurrence?
Which loss are you mentioning about? Sorry, I couldn't hear you properly.
The share of profit of joint ventures of around 13.67 crore.
So in our joint ventures, as I stated last year also, one of our coal connectivity projects, CERL, it is running into losses. Last year the losses were about 30 crores, and this year the loss has been about 25 crores. And it will continue losses for another year to 2 years. Actually, a particular spur line has to be still set up, which we are in the process of doing. And also the traffic from this line will pick up over a period of 2 years. And it's only after 2 years that this will break even. So another 2 years, we expect this loss to be taken. But on the overall, the project is doing fine. The viability is there. And therefore, as promoters, we will have to continue incurring this loss for another 2 years.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the only one. Otherwise, all other projects of ours are doing well.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neer Thakkar from Arrow Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Neer, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Okay, we'll move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Shubham Shela from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One, you mentioned there has been an arbitration claim that has positively impacted our margin. Can you mention the quantum of the amount that we have been?
So the overall quantum was 97 crores. The impact in my P&L is about 66 crores.
And this 97, is it anything booked in other income also?
Yeah, partly. Out of 60, about 22 crores is booked in other income.
Okay. So 22 crores booked in other income, and 97 minus 22, which is roughly 75 odd crores, is
66 minus 22. The 97 versus 66 was already hitting as part of retention money and OCI. So what has affected my P&L overall is 66. Out of the 66, 22 is in other income, and 44 is in my project revenue versus expense, the overall margin, the operational margin.
Got it. And this clarification, this high speed you mentioned, the amount is 5,200 odd crores. And so this means nothing has started as of now, right? Because this was our
No. So we've done about, I think, 1,000 crores till now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And our own cash in the books will be how much?
Our own cash is in the range of 800 crores, 800 to 825 crores.
Okay. And in terms of our tax rate, can you expect that 25% for 25 and 26 going in?
Yes, we can. In fact, this year also it's been 25. Last year it was low because of some taxation benefits that we got last year. Otherwise, it should be in the range of 25% only.
Okay. And then this revenue contribution of flattish number, this is based on the current orders that we have. In terms of delivery schedule, anything that we get in terms of inflow, so that will possibly relax.
Yes, absolutely. For which we will be sharing numbers with you as soon as we also get to know.
Right. And then you did mention the BD team is working on getting orders. And can you just maybe, will it be possible to give some bit more color in terms of which sectors we are seeing opportunity?
Again, the same thing which we asked is any big pipeline or opportunity that we have bidded or that will help us to understand.
So, as you all are aware, we got a 600 crore job up to March in railways itself, and we've got another one of 1198 crores again in railway segment itself. And apart from these two, we are expecting some bids to be opened now, both in roads and highways as well as in railways. Obviously, the target number that we bidded is very high, whether in terms of quantum of bids or the value. But because the competition is immense, and also there's been some delay in some of these decisions. Therefore, I think it will be better if we are all patient and we go with the numbers that we actually win.
Okay. But if one has to understand, is it the awarding opportunity for the sector that we cater, so that has been lower in FY24 and that has also impacted our win, that inflow, or you are saying the competition is higher? So which way one should try to look?
Competition of both. Because, in aircon, as I mentioned, that there is a particular size or scale of projects that we would like to do. And also we would like to do projects which have tunnels or some complexity involved. Because there are a lot of small-time players, one-time players who are coming and competing, and they are under-quoting in the market. And especially for small-ticket jobs, we have found that, I'm talking of a range of 50 to 100 crores or below that. It is becoming extremely tough to even look at that segment. So considering all of these, the opportunities that have come up in our segment or the target that we are looking at has been limited last year. And also within the segment, the competition has been immense. But we are hopeful of getting some of these jobs, and we should be able to share some positive news very soon.
Sure. Maybe one last question. In terms of high speed, though we have one order with us, in terms of opportunity, because I know it's more of a media report that we keep on hearing a number of projects being lined up, but any bids, probably tenders that are getting invited in an advanced stage, in any color that you can share, because a lot of names keep on coming between two cities and all.
I also believe that after us, there is an opportunity or that came and that's gone to AFCON. In terms of focus, of course, this Ahmedabad-Mumbai bullet project, once it is commissioned, for which I think that should be the target now going forward, because it is one of our prestigious projects from a country's point of view. So once it starts giving us results in terms of actually doing it, executing it over a period of time, then we are fairly confident, because as of now the credentials lie with us in L&T. So we are fairly confident that this should, from a mid to long term perspective, there should be more such projects coming up. And given our credentials, we should be able to get some sizable business going forward.
Okay. And 5,200 odd crore in high speed, that is only 100% is our share. That,
okay. Yes. I'm talking only about our order book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, thanks for answering the question.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Wealth PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Can you explain the margin difference between bidding for that and nomination for that? What is the margin difference? And what is the ballpark margin in both your
I think we've discussed this earlier in earlier calls as well. The margin difference tends to be about 0.5% here and there, depending upon the complexity of the job, the size of the job, between the nomination versus bidding, as a very ballpark number. And in terms of what our margins will be, I have been saying that we'll be continuing to maintain our margins, which will be in the range of 7 to 7.5 PAT margins, and core margins, EBITDA margins in the range of about 7.5 to 8.5%. So that is something which we are doing, knowing very well that going forward it will all be competition only.
Okay, thank you. And one more question was, can you explain the cash conversion cycle of the company? So whenever the project is awarded or when you win the bid for for any nomination, how much percent of the award is come to the checks in our balance sheet, and how is this accounted?
So in our case, because it's a construction, heavy construction job that we do, so whether it is nomination or whether it is competition, there are advances which tend to sit in our books. There's initially a mobilization advance, then there is an advance against material. And typically, we would say that as such, the working capital which is involved in completing the project has been very limited till now for IRCON. Going forward, we could have some increase in our working capital requirement, because in nomination jobs, the advance tends to be substantial. It is almost like a deposit work, but it would be a working capital which we should be able to manage. I don't see funding requirement towards working capital from banks for the next few years.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiren, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just a small bookkeeping question is, your tax rate seems to have jumped up, during this quarter, if you compare it on a year-on-year basis. Just wanted some clarification. And what would be the tax rate going forward for the whole year?
So going forward, the tax rates would be in the range of 25%. And yes, there has been some shift in our tax rate during the quarter Q4. For that matter, if one was to compare year on year from last year, that's been because of some deferred tax entries as well as a one-time tax refund that we had last year. And that's an adjustment entry that we've done. It's a non-cash book entry also in deferred tax, which we've done. And going forward, it will be around 25%.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, first question is, that we are seeing a lot of deals as far as HAM projects are concerned at substantial premium. So any thought process to monetize? I know, we'll have to go through, several rounds to debomb, etc. But what we plan out there is, do we intend to hold those, or, there is a structure where we'll be able to monetize those?
So, as I had stated earlier, in my calls, we had taken baby steps towards asset monetization. We had hired a consultant who would tell us what would be the best way to take it forward, after which we've had a board meeting on it as well, and an in-principle decision to monetize the assets which are already operational in road and highway sector has been taken. This was in IRCON board. But as you rightly pointed out, after that it has to go through several rounds of approval at Government of India level. So currently that approval we have sought from our parent ministry, Ministry of Railways.
Okay.
The papers are with them. We are hopeful of getting their approval very soon. And then we will be moving it further on to DIPAM and NITI Aayog. Depending upon how much time they take, we are quite focused to take this forward.
Got it. So, intent is to sell it rather than holding to it.
Yes.
Sure. And similarly for the coal connectivity projects, can we monetize those as well, or we'll have to hold on to those?
So, coal connectivity projects, we haven't yet thought on that direction because we happen to be a minority partner. The majority partner is a Coal India subsidiary, whichever it is, Southeastern Coal Fields or Central Coal Fields. And if at all we do plan at some stage, it may not be into the market because I don't think coal companies would like to monetize it.
In this case,
it could be a interstate promoter sale or something that may happen. But this is not envisaged immediately because as of now, all my projects are either in fag end of construction or just about commercial but with losses. So there is no point looking at monetization at this stage.
Got it. And secondly, ma'am, in terms of, in the previous calls, you've been indicating, that a couple of our coal SPVs would be up and running in, say, next 1 or 2 years. So how should one look at the GV share of profit?
So, as I mentioned, one of our coal JVs, which is Chhattisgarh CERL, unfortunately, they've been running into losses. There are a couple of factors. One, of course, our major spur line is still under construction. The losses will get reduced, but we will still have losses from them for next 2 years.
Okay.
Meanwhile, our other projects, which is MCRL, CERL, CWRL, and one JCRL, those should start giving us profit, but again, they are under construction. So the coal profit from coal JVs should essentially be coming after 2 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Because it takes time to stabilize. Ultimately, my revenue there is coming from the coal traffic. So even when I construct, it is not that from the very next day I get full traffic. So that takes about 2 to 3 years to stabilize.
Got it. Sure. And ma'am, one last question. Our competitor is actually entering into the manufacturing field to be resided in Vande Bharat Manufacturing. So are you looking at any sort of series or, tie-ups where we can, actually enter that segment or any other segment, which is the upcoming segment?
So, IRCON has had its fair share of diversification into roads, highways and now renewables. And we are fairly confident of the areas we have already diversified, and we are making good profits in our road projects.
Right.
Solar also, we hope to do that. In terms of construction or activities, we are fairly confident.
Right.
In terms of manufacturing, that's a completely new line for us. And as far as Vande Bharat is concerned, that's an area which we've looked at. It's a very, very long liability that is associated with it. Which I don't think as IRCON we are ready to take it at this stage. So we will continue to aspire to diversify into more areas, but it may not be manufacturing of Vande Bharat trains.
Got it. Sure, ma'am. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurika Nair from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi. First of all, if you could help me with the inflow of the order book for FY24.
Yeah, so for FY24, I had an inflow close to 1,000 crores from new projects. This included 630 crores for a Aizwal tunnel project that we have. And then there is about 120 crores for a signaling project that we've got in Imphal. And the balance is somewhat in smaller projects. So that is what I've got from my new projects. And I have an overall order book of 27,200 crores currently. So there has been some increase in my existing projects also, roughly to the tune of about 2,000 odd crores.
Oh, yeah. That is my first question. Next is, if you could tell me a bit about the EBITDA for this year and the future that you expect to realize in FY25-26. The EBITDA margin.
The margin on a consolidated basis is about 11.73%.
Yeah.
And going forward, it will be in the range of 10 to 11%.
11%. Okay.
Yeah. And this year has been exceptional, as I've already mentioned. Because of some of our, one being, of course, the South Africa income that we got.
Okay. So could you tell me the same thing for your revenue growth and your revenue this year and the future?
Yeah, so for revenue for the next year, I said would maintain the at flattish level, which means it will be in the range which is similar to this year. And going forward, a lot will depend on the orders that I secured this year. I hope it's a wishful thinking. We are working towards it. But in our industry, it is difficult to say till we get it. But if I get orders of another 10 to 15,000 crores, then a year after this, we should be seeing about 10% growth in my turnover. But it is something which is dependent on the orders that I get this year. So as of now, it is flattish growth for the next 1 year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Javedi from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, ma'am. Thank you so much for taking my question. Most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to ask, will our other income run rate be on the similar levels, or how much impact would it be? So can we expect around
500 crores or other income coming in every year?
So, you know, in 500, I mean, it's been really more than 500 this year, which had a portion, as we mentioned, of about
50
crores. Can you hear me?
Yeah, ma'am.
Okay, sorry, I thought I had broken off. So, out of this, about 20-30 crores has come as one-off income from South Africa, and another 10-15 crores has come from income tax refunds. So, if we, even if I was to leave that aside, we should be in the range of 500 crores going forward, at least for the next year.
Okay.
It will also depend how much of my surplus funds I'm investing or flowing back into new projects, because essentially my other income includes a lot of my money that I earn on my FDs and mutual funds. So, if I start putting them into projects, which I am expecting over the next 2 years, then there would be a slight drop, but I don't see that for the next year, at least.
Oh, okay, perfect, sir. And with regards to our interest cost, so it would also be in the similar range, ma'am, that what we are seeing right now, a run rate of 40 crores a quarter will maintain, or how would we see going ahead? Because projects, like, we are expecting a flattish revenue, so any guidance on, you know, how our interest would work out?
You're talking about our finance cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, so per se in Ircon, we don't have any active debt from a lending point of view. These are more of the costs that you do because of the accounting entries and also a little bit that we pay as interest on advances.
Okay.
You know, so this is something which will really depend on my size and the nature of projects that I take up. It is not the loans typically that we take up. So finance cost in our case is very marginal and on a standalone basis. But if we were to look on a consolidated basis, all SPVs have financial closures and they've taken long-term lending. The lending is fixed for the entire loan period and it is linked to the MCLR rates of the respective banks. So unless interest rates go up in the economy overall, which they're not expected to go up further, we should be pretty much at the same level.
Perfect, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am. All the best.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, ma'am, for the opportunity. Ma'am, I just wanted to know, recently India and Iran have signed a Shabab Code agreement. And in the past, you know, your colleagues in the past were, you know, they had Iran, they're quite bullish on the prospect of a Shabab Code in terms of, you know, work coming to us, Ircon International. Is there any further development or do you think it's too early to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm afraid we've been a little early. As of now, there is nothing that we can say we are definitely getting there. No.
Yeah, but in terms of groundwork, will you hire in terms of other people in this? It's safe to assume that?
Not for Chabar.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Mehta from Bank of India Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for very stable numbers.
Thank you.
My question is regarding, is slightly top-down in nature. So, in terms of various segments in which we are present, what kind of opportunities in terms of bidding are we seeing for this year and what kind of market share are we planning to take in terms of bid wins?
So, you know, in our case, we wouldn't talk about market share because market is huge in infrastructure. So, within railways, for example, there is a budget of 150,000 crores. But within that 150,000 crores, roughly about 70,000 to 80,000 crores is more to do with Vande Bharat and areas where probably ISKCON is not present. And then when we talk of another 70,000 to 80,000 crores, a lot gets done by railway itself. And there are also, it depends a lot on, you know, what kind of project sizes do they have, what are the projects that they're coming up with, whether they're coming up at a railway level or at a zonal level, which will mean smaller values, and also on a lot of competition. So, on a top-down approach, the market is very attractive. We are poised to get more jobs. We have the right credentials. and whatever we have built in the past, we also carry a very high credibility. But having said all this, there it is ultimately an L1 regime, and in L1 regime, as I've mentioned earlier also, the competition is also immense. It also depends on the complexity and the kind of technical qualifications that are put in a particular tender. Given all this, we should be able to get a good sizable share. I am saying, as I mentioned, in the range of 10 to 15,000 crores is what we will target getting this year. But having said that, it really depends because our last year has not been good enough in terms of getting orders.
Sure, just one clarification. Railway budget is 2.5 lakh crores, right? So.
Sorry, yeah. It is about 2.5 lakh. I mentioned, I think 1.5 instead.
Correct. So our opportunity size should be slightly larger than.
So it is still 60-70,000. I mean, if you were to reduce and take out all of those, it basically, you know, about 1,35,000 includes rolling stock and many other areas. So ultimately, the areas which we do, which is new lines, gauge conversion and doubling, some bridges, all that combined is coming to about 60-70,000.
Okay, and metros, bullet train and all those will give us...
Those are over and above anyway, because the Indian Railways is beyond that.
Yeah.
So those are new, again, opportunities that we have to build and we will continue to build.
Yeah, will it be possible to quantify non-railway opportunity for us or...
It will be really tough because metro is fairly segmented in terms of states, and it is really difficult to quantify all of them. But if you were to talk very broadly at an India level, then obviously one looking at an opportunity of infrastructure spend of I think almost more than 10 lakh crores or something on a yearly basis.
Yes, ma'am. That was very helpful. That's all from me. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Shah from Laxcog Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, you were saying that you are targeting doubling of the revenue from, I suppose, from 10,000 crores to 20,000 crores over 4 to 5 years, from FY23 to FY28. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is what I had mentioned last time.
Okay. So, you have achieved 12,000 crores roundabout in FY24. FY26, you are saying it will be flat or muted top line growth. And then next 2-3 years, you need to grow at a, because over a 5-year period, the CAGR should have been 14-15%. Then FY 26 to 20 years, you need to grow at a much higher than 14-15%. So, you were also saying for the bullet train in Myanmar, you will have additional revenue kicking in post 2 years. So, right now you are in the initial phase of that project. You're saying revenue will flow from bullet train and Myanmar project from FY26 onwards, is that correct?
No, that is not what I meant. What I meant is this project is yet to be completed, so the period in which it will get completed is 3 to 4 years. So the revenue will be spread over the 3 to 4 year period and not over 2 year period.
Okay. You said it was 1,000 crores to book the revenue, so out of that 5,000 crores. So 4,000 crores still to be executed.
Yes, and it would be over a 3-year period.
Okay. And you said the margins will remain, in fact, margins would be in the range of 7 to 7.5%. And there will be additional money will go into working capital this year.
Working capital, I said additional money has to go into PPP projects mainly, but should there be a working capital requirement, we are poised to do it internally. We will not need lending for it for next few years.
I don't see
working capital as a challenge for us.
Okay, you are saying you will manage from internal, you don't need to borrow.
And I'm also saying that it is not so much of a concern right now. We are well within our numbers. So, but what in fact I need the funds is for my PPP project.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Raja from HV Raja & Co. Please go ahead.
Good evening, madam. Thanks for answering. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you.
Madam, this is a very small question. As you were just talking that there would be some more additional working capital requirement, especially as regards the PPP project. And as you already said that you don't foresee any requirements to raise any funds for working capital. But on the flip side, madam, whether there will be any impact on the other income or the revenue that we may be earning from the working capital, because if we need more working capital, we don't need to borrow, but then it may impact our revenue in some sense.
So, you know, this is someone who asked on the working capital. I said, as of now, we are on a very, very comfortable situation. If at all we need working capital, we will have internal resources. I am not needing working capital. Right now, my cash that I get from client is good enough for me to manage the liabilities. I normally don't put my own funds other than bits here and there. And that position is expected to continue on a short-term basis. But just in case we need to put, we are poised to keep it. As I again mentioned, my internal resources will essentially go in equity investments of PPP projects and not towards working capital immediately.
So, madam, on a broad basis, as of now, the working capital, the current assets, or the short-term investments are not yielding that much of a sizable income in our part of component of the other income part.
Yeah, so other income will decrease once I invest my surplus cash into PPP projects, which is spread over 2 years. But having said that, I'll also be earning in the next few months. So it will be a recurring cycle, and therefore I do not see a other income dipping from a 500 crore level. It may not be at a level of 540 or 580, but it will be in the range of 500 for the next year. Obviously, if I get more PPP opportunities, then the number will come down. But for next 1 year, I'm confirming it should be in that range.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Wealth PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity. Just want to ask one question. Want to take a broader view and want to understand what is the risk of your subcontractors outbidding ESCON for the project that we are currently handling? Because I understand we are currently subcontracting a lot of projects that we get, right? So what is the risk that going forward, is there any project where more than 50% or 60% of work is being done by one single subcontractor in any of our projects? And just want to understand what is the risk that these subcontractors may outbid ESCON going forward in the bidding projects? Thank you.
So, couple of things. The first thing is that ESCON does a lot of work departmentally. Departmentally as in what we do within ESCON in our company by different sections. And the essential work there involves the initial planning, the designing, the procurement, which typically for a contractor becomes tough because most contractors don't have financial resources. And subsequently, it's overseeing the overall quality of the project or the credibility. So these are three things that we typically bring to the table even when we are subcontracting. So it is like, you know, saying ki hum ghar mein apni interior designing kar rahe hain aur ek whatever, a plumber ya ek painter ko laga rahe hain paint karne ke liye. Now in terms of competition, obviously hardcore, pure civil work, they can compete with us and they are. But where it is an overall package which involves a procurement, a designing and a lot of planning, meticulous planning in some of these projects. If you see the kind of projects ESCON has done, we've done the USBRL project and we are currently doing the CIVOC project. All these involved a lot of tunneling project experts and you have a lot of design and planning details that we need to go into it. So there the competition will be lesser from any of these subcontractors. In fact, it will be nil. And that's the reason we are trying to build a niche for ourselves in which we hope to continue getting more projects. Like it goes straight away for bullet train projects also. The technology is Japanese. There's a lot of JV arrangements that we have with many of the Japanese vendors, and that is how this project is coming. So pure subcontractor will not be able to take it forward.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. And the second question was, why do you see a cyclicality in Q4 in the top line? Why is there a cyclicality in Q4 for revenue recognition?
Technicality? What technicality?
Yes. Usually the Q4 numbers are higher than the first Q1, Q2, Q3. So is there any particular reason why Q4 numbers are higher?
Why Q4 numbers are higher?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think typically in our kind of industry, Q4 always tends to be higher.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their closing comments. Thank you all for being a part of the conference call. If you need any further information or clarification, please mail at sachin.garg@elcon.org. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve, for moderating the call. I would also like to thank all our shareholders, stakeholders, business partners, analysts, investor friends who have continued to show faith in us and have supported in this journey. We assure you we will not disappoint you. We would be happy going forward to connect with you on one-to-one basis if it is required for any further queries and clarifications. With this, I conclude today's con call and thank you all for your active participation. Thanks once again. Thank you.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.